Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The gospel lesson for today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This can be found on page 959 of your pew Bible. Mary's pregnancy before marrying Joseph appeared to be the result of adultery, which would bring shame to both of them. However, an angel appeared in Joseph's dream, explaining that the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of prophecy. A reading from Matthew chapter 1, beginning with the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
I am one of three children. I have an older brother and I have a younger sister, which makes me a middle child. When we were growing up, every time there was a sound of children fighting, my parents didn't even need to stop whatever it was they were doing. They just hollered my name because I was bound to be one of the parties involved. Indeed, I'm surprised. I made it so easy for them. I'm surprised why they haven't thanked me yet. But of course, that one day came. As reading a book, minding my own business, then elsewhere in the house, my brother and my sister had a dust up. And sure enough, my dad yells, Gad! I can't describe how I felt that day. It's one thing to get into trouble for causing trouble, but it's another thing entirely to be falsely accused, to be dragged into a mess not of one's own making, to be hurt by the last people in the world who should be hurting us. I don't know whether you've ever experienced something similar. One person who has, I'm pretty sure, is the person in our Bible passage today. We're in the middle of our Advent sermon series titled Journey to the Manger, looking at four people who were given roles to play in the lead up to the birth of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we made acquaintance with Zechariah the priest, and last week we listened to Mary's story. Today, we're going to spend a little bit of time on her husband, the man called Joseph. If you've closed your Bible, please turn again to Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a few things we need to address immediately. Yes, in verse 18, came together means exactly what you think it means. Yes, with child also means exactly what you think it means. And yes, I cannot possibly expect you to believe that a person can be with child without another person coming together with her. And this whole the Holy Spirit did it thing, well, that just makes it even more weird. And I just want you to know, if that is you, I totally get that. I totally get that. You know biology, you know how babies are made. And you know your history. You know the test tubes came much later. And you know science, you cannot possibly believe in superstitious stories. For now, let me leave you with something to ponder. If you got knocked up, would this be the alibi that you came up with? I mean, seriously. And if the answer is no, because you're not cognitively challenged, well, the writer of this story is not cognitively challenged either. So why is this the story that he is telling? In any event, you know who else doesn't buy old wives' tales? Or actually, I should say, you know who doesn't buy his young wife's tale? Joseph. Verse 19 tells us, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." Allow me to provide you with a little background. In their time, being betrothed was basically like being married. You didn't come together under one roof, and you certainly didn't do that other coming together thing, but otherwise, everything else is as if you were already married. A legally binding contract is signed, and the parties are already publicly referred to as husband and wife. Indeed, if one of them dies before the wedding day, the other is considered a widow or a widower. Likewise, to end a betrothal, it would be necessary to go through the divorce process. Now consider Joseph. The passage tells us that he is a just man. He's not a middle child. He's been careful to do everything in the Torah all of his life. Well, except for that part in Leviticus, the one that forbids texting while driving one's donkey. But, you know, everyone else did that, so that one doesn't count. But with regard to Mary, like me, he knows that he didn't do it. He knows between them who's a virgin, and it surely isn't Mary. Except, of course, everyone else would think that both she and he were adulterers. So he has been betrayed by the last person in the world who should be betraying him. He's been dragged into a mess that's not of his own making. And now he'll forever stand falsely accused in front of everyone. I have a sense I know how Joseph felt that day. I suspect some of you do too. Now, I have to say, Joseph is actually a very nice man. Even though Mary had hurt him deeply, our passage tells us that he did not want to shame her. However, he is a just man. And a just man is one who observes the law. And Jewish, Greek, and Roman law all demanded that a man divorce his wife if she were guilty of adultery. If he didn't, he would be condoning sinful behavior, which means he is morally compromised himself. And they didn't do shotgun weddings because shotguns hadn't been invented yet. So Joseph had no choice but to divorce her. He's a just man, and that's what a just man does. Now, I have to say, this system of law and justice is all very convenient for Joseph. By keeping the law as it had been set up, He not only gets to be known as a just man and gets to keep his good name, he also gets to wash his hands of all the mess of the world. I can think of something similar that happened more recently. You know, on the post road at exit 5, there were homeless people holding signs asking for money. We told our children it's unsafe for them to be doing that, and there are laws against panhandling. And we were quite happy when the town put up signs saying panhandling is unsafe. And then 2 weeks later, we were driving 2 blocks down the road. There are teenagers holding signs asking for money for their team's spring break trip. And we told our children, oh, hey, that's so-and-so's kid. How cute and how resourceful. We should get our car washed by them. Based on a true story. Being just and keeping the law can sometimes be a little too convenient. In any case, Joseph resolved to divorce Mary quietly. But being a careful and thoughtful man, he decided to sleep on it. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, it must be something else to have an angel show up. Indeed, in the Bible, when an angel visits people, the first thing they often say is, do not fear. There must be something from their having been in the presence of God that gives them an otherworldly radiance that instills both awe and fear. So just to make sure you're prepared, should the time come, if you're awakened in the middle of the night and you see a being in an ill-fitted sheet, it's not an angel, it's your 3-year-old wanting a drink of water. In any case, Joseph and the angel talk, and as they do so, Joseph begins to think, this angel must be a newbie because he isn't selling things very well. First, the angel says, Mary, Mary, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Say yes to the mess. Just imagine, people will always whisper when you walk into the room. Your kids' classmates are never available for playdates with your kids. When you apply for jobs, for some reason, they've always already found somebody else. Yet here the angel is saying, go ahead, Mary, Mary. Second, the angel says her child will be the boss baby. He's something special. And you know what that means. Your own child is slightly above average, and you're having to trade in your sports car for a minivan. You wake up in all these places you've never even heard of, much less thought to visit, all because they're playing the Danbury Ducks. Well, this particular kid isn't merely above average. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The scouting report says he's out of this world, so it's time to trade in the donkey. Bethlehem, that's where he's going to make his rookie appearance. And let's see, Egypt is the next away game, and oh, thank goodness, Nazareth is next. It's a home game. Actually, the people I should be preaching these to are not here because they're traveling for sports on Sunday. If you're reviewing this on video, your time won't be yours anymore. Your life won't be yours anymore. Yet here the angel is saying, go ahead, have the boss baby. And third, the angel says, you get to renounce your rights. If you've watched The Crown on Netflix about the British royal family, you know what rankled the late Prince Philip the most. It wasn't being seen as a gaffe machine, though he was. It wasn't even having to always walk three steps behind his wife wherever they went. What he hated the most was that he couldn't give their children his last name. There's so much bound up in naming rights, isn't there? People give money to have schools and buildings named after them. And for those of us who have a little less, brick pavers and park benches. We want to be recognized. We want to matter. We want to endure. And for many of us, the way to last longer than this life is through our children. But the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus. And he checks the Jewish book of baby names. Jesus, meaning Yahweh saves, God saves. Nice, but not the name I would have chosen. Yet here the angel is saying, go ahead, renounce your rights. Give up your name. Well, still thinking about names, Joseph suddenly stops and he turns to the angel. I'm sorry, when you first came in, what did you call me? The angel suppresses a smile, but there's a twinkle in his eye. I said, Joseph. Son of David. And then it dawned on Joseph. Joseph knew from a lifetime of going to the synagogue, from reading the Torah, that the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, would come from the line of David. Joseph, son of David. If he divorced Mary, her baby would just be another illegitimate child, a nobody nodding around Nazareth. But if he married Mary, then the child would be a son of David, the son of David. And if he called him Jesus, then the boy will grow up to fulfill his destiny and save his people from their sins. Then what the prophet said will come true. Emmanuel, God will be with us. The weight of it all instantly became clear to him. And as the night tiptoed towards dawn, every angel in heaven held their breath, both nervous and excited, in anticipation of this day that they had waited all eternity for, to find out whether their master was brave or foolish. Their master, Yahweh, the God of the universe, had a plan to save mankind, where the mess is made clean, where the broken is made whole, where the dead are made alive again, and that entire plan came down to this moment, all of it waiting and hanging upon the decision of one insignificant, deeply wounded man. You have a decision to make too. Are you the science person who cannot believe in superstitious stories? Well, you know, there's an American thinker who had an observation, noting science's lack of an explanation for where everything comes from. He said, modern science is based upon the principle, give us one free miracle and we'll explain the rest. You know, the Big Bang is no longer the beginning, right? Now we have causal set theory, among others, which tell us what happened before the Big Bang. For some reason, the beginning keeps getting pushed backwards in time, as if people are avoiding something or afraid of the alternative conclusion. What are you afraid of? Matthew, not cognitively challenged, is not afraid. There is a Greek word that's very rarely used in the New Testament, but which Matthew uses twice in chapter 1. First, in verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, where our English translation says genealogy, he uses that Greek word. And then again in our passage in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, where it says birth, he uses this Greek word again. In these two places, the Greek word he uses is Genesis. His original readers would have immediately known that he was pointing them to the first book of the Bible, which begins with the words that they all knew. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. If the Spirit of God can make the universe out of nothing, that same Holy Spirit can make life in Mary's womb out of nothing. In all the black holes of all our lives, he can bring forth light. All our empty spaces, he can fill with meaning. Or maybe you're just a just person. You've done all the right things all your life. You don't even text while you're driving. But you're exhausted, having to keep doing what you're doing to have a self and an identity and a name that you can live with. And you discover that the messes are there anyway. Or perhaps you're the person who knows that your messes are of your own making. You hear the accusations in your head every moment, every day. You think they're true. You think there's no way for your life to be made right again. Friend, no matter who you are, no matter your birth order, no matter if you're above average or below average, the angels are holding their breath for you too. Because you too have a decision to make that has eternal consequence for you and for those around you. So will you say yes and own up to the mess? Will you let the baby into your life, let him be your boss, and lead you wherever he goes? Will you renounce making your own name and instead call to him, Jesus, Yahweh, save me? The Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. I can tell you what decision Joseph made. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.